Our text for this morning's meditation is from Luke chapter 21. These words, "Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when we think about the return of Christ on the last day, usually isn't a pleasant thought, is it? I mean, contrast what we think, what we feel, our reaction to the return of Christ on the last day of the history of the world to, let's say, Christmas. When we talk about Christmas, about the incarnation of the Son of God, about God becoming a little baby boy, born of a virgin, born in a stable, laid in a manger, there are no unpleasant thoughts there, are there? What comes to mind is silent night, holy night. Gentle Mary, later child, lowly in a manger, came upon a midnight clear. Angels, we have heard on high, go tell it on the mountain. And on and on and on. Nothing but peace, nothing but joy and contentment, nothing but expectation and hope. I mean, a baby's born. Normally, in the normal course of life, an occasion for celebration. Savior is born, even a greater reason to rejoice. But Christ returning on the last day to judge the living and the dead, completely different situation, different effect upon our psyches. We've asked for a one-word response to the idea of the return of Christ on the last day. It'd probably be something like fear, dismay, or despair. And that should be no surprise, because when Christ himself talks about his return on the last day there in the gospel reading, he says there in Luke 21 that there will be people fainting with fear and with foreboding at what is coming on the world. Conversely, however, to those who believed in him, those who believed him to be what he is, our Savior from sin and death and the final judgment, Christ says this, our text. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. That is, don't duck and cover, but arise, look up to meet the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now that's different, isn't it? That's different. To be encouraged to stand up and greet our returning Savior in joyful expectation, it is just so overwhelming to think about the return of Christ that it's hard to think that we would do anything but duck and cover out of fear. But we're not to do that. We're not to do that. In the din, in the confusion, in the roaring of the sea, the signs and sun and moon and stars, the distress of nations, we're to straighten up, raise our heads for our redemption from sin and death and the devil is appearing as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns visibly for us to see to the earth. Luther writes, "For what else does this expression, your redemption, mean but that you are now in bondage under the power of Satan who attacks you with his arrows?" That's that reference to Ephesians. "So that you are beset and oppressed by the world and remain in all sorts of danger and need from which neither you yourself nor anyone can help you. And yet you will be saved. You will be set free by our Lord Christ in heaven. And you'll be taken to heaven. And there you will rule over the devil and hell and death, so that they must all lie at your feet. So why should you be afraid Why should you be afraid of the signs of the end times and fear them? Why should you be afraid of the end times, the signs, and fear them? Shouldn't you rather greet them with great joy? So Luther. In other words, we should be greatly comforted by the signs of the end times, knowing that it means that our Savior Jesus will soon appear. If only we could think of the return of Christ as we think of his first arrival. If only we could think of the last day like we think of Christmas Day. If only we could wait in eager expectation for the appearance of our redemption from sin and death, like we used to wait in eager expectation as children for the opening of presents on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Now, here I think we can struggle with a complex, a spiritual complex, for lack of a better term, something we might call a Lot's wife complex. You remember Lot's wife. When being rescued from Sodom, when being redeemed from that city of horrific sin, doomed for destruction, she looked back. She had to look back at what she was losing in this life. And so doing turned into a pillar of salt. Perhaps that's the real issue here then. Not a fear of the return of Christ as much as a fear of losing the life that we already have in the here and now. And that's the thing with the celebration of Christmas. The celebration of Christmas brings us more and more and more of the here and now, right? The here and now in spades, friends, family, food, gifts, music, lights, aroma, concerts, experiences of all sorts. Christmas can become an uber celebration of the here and now, can't it? And the return of Christ? Why would we want to be taken out of the now, the uber now, the here and now? So then our fear of the return of Christ in the last day really stems from our old Adam, doesn't it? Our old Adam, who so much likes the here and now. It's not that we as Christians are to hate the here and now or not to celebrate Christmas. It is that we should repent of our discovery of our love of the here and now to the extent that we fear the return of Christ will bring it to an end. For even the best of the here and now is not what it should be. And as Christ is coming in the last day to redeem us physically from the creation, Christ is rescuing us from something from which we do need to be rescued. And that includes, but is not limited to, the fact that we daily sin much and we deserve nothing but punishment, as the Small Catechism puts it. The fact that we live under constant threat of the effects of sin on creation, as the COVID-19 pandemic has shown. And the fact that we will indeed die Christ doesn't return first. We're like the teenagers on a youth trip to Canada years ago who went swimming at a beautiful beach at a campground near an amusement park in Thunder Bay there, only upon exiting the water, seeing the sign tucked off to the side that said, "No swimming, toxic waste." They all are still alive, by the way. The point is that we all live in toxic waste. The toxic waste in which we swim daily. And that toxic waste in which we swim daily is sin. And over time, that spiritual toxic waste called sin alters our view of the world so that slowly, almost imperceptibly, we take on that Lot's wife complex and live with fear of the return of Christ because we don't want to give up our stuff. Let's acknowledge this. Let's confess it, repent of it, and see our lives in the here and now in a new way. The new way of looking at life in the here and now, for which we have been redeemed from sin and death and the devil by our Lord and Savior Jesus. And we can do this, that is, look at the here and now in a new way, because the sin to which we have been exposed has been uncovered, has been confessed and forgiven, and is forgiven daily through faith in Christ, enabling us to adopt a new perspective on life. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul is getting at in Romans 6, where he writes, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." See, it's in Christ, living by faith in Christ, whereby the righteousness of Christ is credited to us, so that we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, look at Christmas in a new way, but especially the return of Christ on the last day in a new way. With Christmas, we can rejoice with all the wonderful good news that Christmas entails, and that list is long. The fulfillment of prophecy, God with us, angels, shepherds, wise men, and on and on and on. But all of this is only a precursor to the return of Christ on the last day, from which we do not need to slink away, for it will not be a loss for us who believe in him as our Redeemer from this world. But it will be a gain. The return of Christ, our redemption, is more wondrous than any of our favorite things of Christmas. More wondrous than Christmas carols. More wondrous than Christmas cookies. More wondrous than Christmas trees and presents and eggnog. Seems strange to have to say that. But when it comes to the return of Christ on the last day, we should be like those shepherds on the first Christmas who said to one another, "Let us now go, even to Bethlehem, to see this thing that has happened. The Lord has made known to us." That should be our attitude, our expectation, our hope, as we contemplate the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus on the last day. We're to straighten up, raise our heads, because our redemption is drawing near. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.